many Christians often debate over whether it's biblical to eat pork. Some Christians says it's okay to eat pork. Some Christians says it's not okay to eat pork. What do you say? More importantly, what does the Bible say? Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from glory.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in beautiful Irving, Texas. The pastor is the dynamic Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Colossians. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving takes a look in the book.
Rather than what God done already done for them.
Hallelujah.
They are all into self. You know, when you are just wrapped up into self, a person that's wrapped up into self make a very small pack.
All right.
You didn't catch it, but you'll catch it on the way. See, most people are into self, and they want you to get into them.
Amen.
And if you don't get into them, then something wrong with you. See, we often tell our children, don't y'all build no gangs in school. You better watch them little boys. You better watch them little girls. We better start telling folks in church, you better start watching these ladies and start watching these men. Because you got some gangs, some religious gangs in church. Look, can I just take a moment this morning and teach the Bible? The Lord said, just teach them the word this morning.
Amen.
Let me show you how you're being cheated. See, the results of being cheated, you miss out on some good food. Can I show you that? See, most religious folks say, you can't eat that. No, you can't, particularly that pork. No, you can't be eating that pork. The Bible says you don't supposed to be eating no pork. Let me show you where you can eat whatever God fixed for you. Can I show you that?
Yes.
Mark chapter 7.
Come on and teach us today.
Mark chapter 7. I don't want you to be cheated. Oh, my Lord. You got your Bible?
Amen.
Mark chapter 7.
Amen.
Look at verse number 19, 18 and 19. The Bible says Jesus was talking to some religious folks about. They got upset with him because he didn't wash his hand in a ritual way.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, now, verse 18, and he said to them, are you lacking in understanding?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing about religious folk, man. Their understanding is that much. It is, I mean, they. I don't care if they got a Bible. They don't understand.
Okay.
That much. Jesus says, now, that's pretty bad when you tell a religious person, particularly a preacher, are you lacking in understanding? You mean tell me you don't know your Bible? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, well, there go Jesus, but into his stomach. But to this thing, Jesus says, no, it's eliminated. In other words, Jesus said, once you eat that, it ain't no, don't sweat it, because it ain't going to stay that long. Don't fall out with nobody just because they ate some pork chops. That pork chop ain't going to stay that long. They ate some ham. Don't fall out with them because they ate some ham. It ain't going to
stay that long.
By the time they get home, something's going to start moving on the inside. But look, right at the end, look what he said. Thus he declared all food clean. Underline that. Thus he declared. Who declared? Who said everything is clean? Jesus. Who's Jesus? He's the God who created everything.
Amen.
So don't worry about eating that pork chop. You want pork chop? Don't eat the pork chop. Jesus said, I say that's clean. That's good. Matter of fact, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, don't refuse any food as long as it is sanctified by the word. In other words, all you got, I don't care what they bring to me, I'm going to just ask God blessings on it. I'm going to say, plenty of food, plenty of meat, thank God, let's eat. So if you ain't eating no food, like pork, guess what's going on? You know, you can miss out on worship. You can miss out on worship. The results of being cheated, you can really miss out on worship. Right here in our text, and I want you to underline this right in our text in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regards to food or drink or respect to festivals or new moon or Sabbath day, which are what? Things which are merely shadows of what is to come. If you just enter the Sabbath day, you into a shadow. You didn't hear me, did you? A shadow is a symbol of the presence of the person. It's just like sometimes me and my wife, I'm down here to church and I'm waiting on my wife. And I can see her coming. Not by looking at her, but I see her coming because I see a shadow. Now, when I see her coming through the shadow, I get excited over the shadow. Because I know that a real person is coming.
Yes.
But when I see the shadow, I don't run and fall on the floor and kiss the shadow. There ain't no enjoyment in the shadow. The enjoyment is in the person who brings forth the shadow. The Sabbath day was a shadow of the rest of Almighty God. But Jesus Christ is the perfect rest. And so when Christ comes, when you get into Christ, you don't need no Sabbath because you got him. So if you just falling in love with worship on the Sabbath, guess what's going on? You missed out on God's word when you're around with religious people. Yeah, I said you missed out on word. See, when they enter the vision, they done distracted you from the word. See, when they can, see, if this sister say she got a vision, this sister say she got a vision, this sister say she got a vision, guess what's going to happen? These other folks going to start wondering, why come I ain't getting no vision? How come I ain't getting no, why come God won't come on and give me a vision? You know why? Because God gave you something better. He gave you the word.
Amen.
Come on, come on, come on. Let me show you that. Can I show you that?
Yeah.
Come on and go with me over to 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter. Now, I hope you got your Bible. Let your fingers do the walking through the Bible pages. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16 through 19. Now, Peter, remember, he was up on the mountaintop with Jesus Christ. And Jesus had just been transfigured from inside to the out.
Come on,
the light that was on Jesus on the inside popped to the outside. And Peter saw that. Now, Peter, if anybody had a right to go around bragging on a vision, Peter should have had the right to go around bragging on a vision. Look at verse number 16. He says, for we did not follow clever devised tales. Clever device. You know what a lie? There's a difference between a lie and the truth. With a lie, you got to fix it up. The truth stands all by itself.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Peter said, when he come to you with fixed up lies, look what he says, clever. Device tells when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, I saw this. He's going to tell you about the vision. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such as an utterance, as this was made to him by the majesty, majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on that holy mountain. Now listen. Peter says, man, not only did we see this glory of Jesus pop from the inside to the outside, but God the Father stamped his approval on it, saying, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. He heard an audible voice from heaven. He heard the voice of God. If there was anybody talking about what they done seen and what they done heard, it should have been Peter. But look what Peter says in this next verse. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star arrive in your heart. Peter said, listen, even though I was on that mountain with Jesus, even though I seen the glory of Jesus come from the inside to the outside, even though I heard the Father, God the Father, stamp his approval on God the Son, saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Peter said, y'all got something even better in the Word of God. See, the thing about a vision, you can't test the vision out. But anything in this word, I can test it out. See, a person can draw a line and they can say the line is straight. But we don't really know if the line is straight or not. I mean, we just pass in judgment. It looks like it's straight. What you think? I don't know. It looks like it kind of got a little lean to the right over there. But if we really want to test it out to make sure it's straight, all we need is go get us a ruler.
Yeah, yeah.
And put the ruler down, and the ruler will tell us whether or not the line is straight. In the same way, if we want to know if something is really from God, we got a sure word. And when somebody give you something that's not in the word, guess what? You not only, listen, not only will you miss out on good food, not only will you miss out on good worship, not only will you miss out on a good word, but you'll miss out on a good God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, when you enter worshiping angels, you don't miss God. Come here. Let me show you something. Go over to Revelation. We crossed the end of the Bible. We might as well keep on going.
Amen.
To the end, Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9. Look at what the Bible says. John was on this island of Patmos, and the angel had showed John the things that were, the things that are, and the things that was to come. He showed John our day as well as to the end of eternity. And when John saw all of that, guess what? He was so appreciative to the angel. Look at what the Bible says he did in verse number 8. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of who? The angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, what the angel said? Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brother and the prophet and of those who take heed to the word of this book. And then he ends it by saying, worship God. In other words, John, even though I'm unsure to how the sky's going to be open and how the moon is going to turn into blood and the sun is going to refuse to shine, even though I'm unsure to how God is going to rain down hail and fire and brimstone, I'm unsure to the 12 gates of the city. John, even though I'm unsure to all of that, don't worship me, worship God. Why come the angel didn't want John to worship him? you've been cheated. Angels can't bless you, but God can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've been cheated. And so what we need to do as people, we need to make sure that don't nobody defraud us of our blessing. I don't care how sanctimonious they look. I don't care if they are carrying a Bible. I don't care if they're even preaching in the pulpit. I don't care how well they sing. Don't you let anybody defraud you of your reward. All because you're looking at them rather than looking at Jesus. I don't know if y'all really with me this morning. I don't know if y'all getting this. I don't know if you're with me this morning. So watch this. Now I ask you a question. What was blocking Sister Sanford's blessing? It was that religious game.
Yes, it was.
He was trying to have an A and a B conversation. And see, when you got an A and a B conversation, everybody else needs to see their way on out. But if you ain't careful, it's that religious game that you're trying to please can block you from your blessing. You can miss out on the husband that God is sending into your life, or the woman that God is sending into your life, all because of that religious game.
Yes, yes.
Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here this morning. But you can miss out just on enjoyment of life with the religious game. The religious game say they don't go to Bronx. They don't even go and eat ice cream on a hot day. Something is wrong with that picture. But that's the thing about religious crowd. They are off.
Amen.
You didn't hear me this morning.
Amen.
I say the religious crowd is often off.
Yeah.
See, it's one thing to be on the track like a train. A train has got two wheels and a train is traveling on the track. But whenever a train get off the track, the train is still a train, but it can't go nowhere. Why? Because the train is no longer on the track. In the same way, a lot of Christians are just like a train that done jumped the track.
All right.
You wondering why your life can't go nowhere is because you off the track. It's getting awfully quiet in here. Let me wake you up.
You've been cheated.
Let me move right along. How do you keep from being cheated? Let me just give you three things and then I'm through. Will that be all right? How you keep from being cheated? Number one, know your Bible. Know your Bible. I say know your Bible. If you want to keep from being cheated, know your Bible. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to know your Bible. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show yourself approve unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you want to stop being cheated, it starts by knowing your Bible.
Listen,
you can fool a fool all the time. You can fool a person who's walking in the word some of the time. But you can't fool Jesus Christ none of the time. And when you hook up with Jesus Christ, you're not going to be fooled.
All right.
Number two, know Jesus for yourself.
Amen.
If you want to stop being cheated, folks cheating you, then you got to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Bible says here in verse number 11, how in him, somebody say in him.
In him.
You were circumcised with circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been baptized or buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him. Somebody ought to say him.
Him.
Through faith in the working of God who raised him. Somebody ought to say him.
Him.
From the dead. See, it's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's all about him. And you got to realize it was Jesus Christ who died for you. It was Jesus Christ who went to Calvary's cross and died for your sins. He was buried for your sin, and he was raised for your justification. Jesus Christ, he paid it all, and he paid it all for him. And like the songwriter said, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He has washed it whiter than snow. So I don't need to be trying to please a religious gang. I need to be trying to please Jesus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus who died for me. And it was Jesus who has forgiven me. The Bible says he has forgiven us in verse 13. And when you was dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of the flesh, he made you alive together. Somebody ought to say together. With him having forgiven us of all of our transgressions. Listen to me. We got too many sad-looking Christians walking around with their head down in the dark with the blues, because the devil keeps punching the rewind button of some sin in your life. But let me tell you something. Every time the devil reminds you of your past, you need to be bold enough and remind him of his future.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the devil's future is in hell.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the devil is the only one that you can really tell go to hell.
Yeah.
Why? Because I done been forgiven of my sin. When he punched that sin and said, no, but you're a fornicator. But you say, God done forgave me of that. He said, you're an adulterer, but God done forgave me of that. You're a liar and a cheater, but God done forgave me of that. Whatever the sin is, God done forgave me of it. And you got to see that. You got to see that. You got to see not only have God done died for your sin, done forgave you of your sin, but God done dealt with the devil. He done defeated the devil in your life who caused you to sin. Look at the text. The Bible says in verse 14, having canceled out the certificate of the debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Listen, our sins have been nailed to the cross, church. When did he do that? When he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Listen, Jesus Christ not only has died for your sins and forgiven you of your sins, but Jesus Christ done to defeat the devil in your life who caused all us to sin. Folks are always bragging on the devil. I said you're always bragging on the devil. Always talking about the devil done this and the devil done this in my life. Rather than talking about what the devil is doing, you need to talk about what Jesus already done in your life.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.